We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Brevard County, Florida. Thanks for tuning us in today. And we want to say thank you to Advanced Christian Training Schools. They hold a video Bible school on our campus in our fellowship hall on Tuesday nights from 6 until 9 p.m. Last Tuesday, I was in the office and somebody called and said, is that class still going on tonight? And the truth of the matter is, it is. They're going to be taking a break here in a few weeks for a couple of weeks, but outside of that, they will be doing it. So that will be tonight from 6 to 9 p.m., so we want to invite you to come and be a part of that. Also, we will be having our vintage service tomorrow. We are studying our way through the book of Isaiah. We're not hitting every chapter, but there are certain chapters that that we end up spending more than one week in. And so come and be a part of that. We pray for people's needs. Last week, I was sharing a testimony that I had heard of a lady who had been kidnapped and how God had intervened on her behalf and enabled and allowed her to escape. And so that was quite exciting testimony. So that'll be tomorrow. Our kids ministry will resume tomorrow night on campus. Last Wednesday, we had an out-of-school celebration. We had a pool party for them. Had one of our largest attendances in our kids ministry that we've had here to date. And so if you are interested in training your boys and girls in the ways of God in a safe environment that is biblically based, we want to invite you out. Wednesday nights, we serve food from 6 to 6:30. The class runs from 6:30 to 7:45. And, you know, right now there's a lot of pressure on other training programs that have been around for a long time, and they are being forced to change their standards. But our standards are still based upon the Word of God. Our adults are background checked and supervised, and so we want you to come and be a part of training up children in the way they should go, so that when they're old, they'll not depart to it. We want to take you back to Acts the 15th chapter today, Acts 15. And we are going to begin reading in verse number 18 again, Acts 15, verse 18. It says, "Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren." And so we're going to stop the reading there. For today, because we are dealing with this thing because of what James said. I believe this is what we should instruct these new believers to do. We should instruct these new believers how to behave, not in a legalistic mindset, but one that is in line with the grace of God. And like I've said, we live in a society that has interpreted the grace of God as a license for anything goes, that any person who does anything, that they do what seems right in their own eyes, and instead of doing what is right in accordance with the Word of God. Now, I want you to know that that did not work out well in the Old Testament. It did not work out well in any place that it's ever been tried. Anarchy, where everybody just does what they are, or the lawless regions, as some place would call it, or the Badlands, if you were in the Wild West. But it does describe that right before the return of Christ, that there is going to be a man of lawlessness and a spirit of lawlessness. And what that means is, if you do not have laws, now that it's everybody who does what is right in his own eyes. The only problem with the man of lawlessness is that he then imposes his own will. This Antichrist, he imposes his own will, determines who can buy, who can sell, who can function in society, and who doesn't. The scripture says that even in the first century, that the spirit of Antichrist was already prevalent in the church. So in the end times, it is just going to reach an ultimate manifestation. So it says here in James, and we've talked about the things that are associated with idolatry and the blood. And right now we are dealing with this, what they said, to abstain from sexual immorality. And there's a lot of talking, and I've actually had people say this: does God really care, you know, about my sex life? Does God really care about that? And I want you to know that he does, because he does not want even that part of your nature to be damaged. Back in the 70s, we were, as a country, we were having discussions on abortion, and it became the law of the land. And I will say this: just because something is legal doesn't mean that it is holy. Just because you can't go to jail for it does not mean that you will go to heaven for it. Heaven is a gift. There are a lot of things right now that people are treating as rights that are actually privileges, gifts, and responsibilities. They're part of our inheritance. And, you know, it has to do with this mindset, this fallen mindset, when it comes to our approach to God. When the serpent was tempting Eve in the Garden of Eden, the mechanism that he used to set her up for her own fall was he began to question the motives and the character of God, and whether or not God was interested in Eve's and Adam's best, or whether he was trying to prevent them from becoming just like he was. The mindset was, he's trying to suppress you. He's trying to suppress you. And the reality was, God wasn't trying to suppress, he was trying to protect. The interesting thing is that when we humble ourselves, God exalts us. But if we exalt ourselves, he sets himself in opposition to us. He says he humbles the proud. And I would much rather humble myself than I would to be publicly humiliated and embarrassed because I was too arrogant to acknowledge the sovereignty of God and his ways. So this mindset that the serpent used in the Garden of Eden is still the same mindset that he is employing here in 2015 when it comes to sexual activity in our society. It is God's plan is actually trying to keep you from enjoying life to the fullest. I want you to know that that is not God's intent, and it's not his motive. We're going to look at several scriptures, because there is a lot of misinformation that goes out there. In fact, as I was preparing to come in for the broadcast, I don't know exactly when, which day we will get to this, but I found just a complete biblical refutation to much of the mindset that is out there. So So let's look at this, and let me tell you just some of the people in the scripture who have mentioned that we should avoid sexual immorality in any of its forms, not just the one that's making headlines now, but in any of its forms. Ezekiel describes about it. These are just a few. David learned the price tag of it. Jesus speaks about it. Now we're just going to talk New Testament. James here in Acts chapter 15, it's reiterated by Paul in Acts, or it's reiterated in Acts chapter 21. Paul talks about it in Romans, in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Thessalonians. James and Jude were the half-brothers of Jesus. They both talk about it, and Jesus addresses it as well. So let's look at the mindset first. Well, let's have a change of strategy. Let's look, how do I want to say this? Let's look at some of the attitudes that we should have when it comes to sexual immorality. And here it is mentioned in Acts that we should abstain from that. It is mentioned in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3, that we should abstain from sexual immorality, for that abstaining from sexual immorality is the will of God. One of the most frequently asked questions by people is, what is God's will for my life? What does the future hold? What is it that I should expect in days to come? And most people are looking for the revelatory will of God, and in their pursuit of that, they also simultaneously want to reject the written and already proclaimed will of God. Now, lest anybody think that I am just talking about outside the church, 1 Corinthians that Paul writes, it deals with sexual immorality that had even made its way into the church. And every study that has ever been done in recent years shows that there is a great deal of sexual immorality that has made its way into the church. And we talked some about that on yesterday's program. We've talked about pastors who have fallen. We've talked about church leaders who have fallen, high profile people, and it's, into the pew itself. I want you to realize, if I can, when addressing this topic, that when you go back to the Old Testament, Balak was a king, and he hired a seer named Balaam to come and curse the people of Israel. And God refused to allow him to pronounce a curse. And instead, every time he did, he blessed him. But Balaam was not content not getting the reward that Balak offered. And if you continue reading in the Old Testament, I believe it's in the book of Numbers, you will find that there was another battle that they had. And in that battle, Balaam was killed. And what happened was Balaam planted a strategy. And the strategy was this: if you can get the children of Israel involved in immorality, it is going to manifest the same kind of benefit for you that it would have if I had cursed them. There are going to be consequences. There are going to be liabilities. There's going to be a downfall of the nation or the people group, this covenant people, if you can just get them focusing on the immorality aspect. And so it is there. Another reference tells us to flee from sexual immorality. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 18. Flee sexual immorality. So we are told to abstain from it. We're told to abstain from it again because it's the will of God, and we are told to flee from it. So Let me talk to you ladies just a moment, and that is, what would you do if you were walking in a room and you saw a mouse or a snake or a bug or maybe a wasp or or something else that just doesn't belong there? What would you do with that? Guys, what would you do? I saw this cute little picture the other day. I didn't see the whole thing. I didn't click on it to watch the video or anything, but there was this juvenile bear cub, and it had climbed up the ladder of an above ground pool, and it was diving off of the ladder into the pool, and somebody snapped the photo with it basically doing a Superman thing. Its rear legs were stretched to the back, and its front legs were stretched to the front, and it was completely airborne, and he was just getting ready to do the biggest belly flop that you had ever seen a bear do. And I thought, oh, isn't that cute? So I was talking last week about that photo with the man who cuts my hair, and he described how at one point in time he had entertained the thought of getting this little bear for the family business. They were going to use it, and what happened was that somebody, as he began to investigate it, that he found that they got to be quite large, and when they got large and they got old, they also tended to get cranky, and he realized that he needed to not follow through with that plan because it would have future ramifications. He said, how do you discipline a bear? You know, he's got some dogs, and he said, you know, I know how to discipline a dog. Know how to do all that. But how do you discipline a bear? Well, I want you to know that if I walked into a room that and there was a bear there, I would flee from it. I wouldn't want to stick around and play with it or any of that sort of thing. I wouldn't say, oh, isn't that cute? You know, it's interesting how many times people have wandered up to kangaroos and deer that society has taught us are just these really cute, innocent animals, and they forget that they are wild animals. And then these people actually get involved and actually get physically injured because these animals are in defense mode. If you're approaching them, they think that you are coming to attack them, and they're going to be defensive. And so those are things that we are to flee from. It says there, flee sexual immorality. Paul goes on and writes to the Corinthian church, and he said, look, the things that are going on in society that God has judged them for in the past, they should not even be named among you. There should not be even a hint of that stuff going on in the church. And so let's look at that, because there's a good reason why God says that we shouldn't do that. And remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is dealing with sexual immorality inside the church. It means that, you know, judgment begins there, but it eventually is going to manifest throughout all of society. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it says, now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. So here, Paul, this is building up to the part we're going to talk about. But he said that people were not treating one another inside the church the way that they should have been treated. You know, they said, you know, y'all are taking these matters outside the four walls of the church, and you're making them public. And that is becoming a stumbling block to society. He says, verse number 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Okay, so if you believe in righteousness, you've got to also believe that there is an antithesis to that. There's an opposite to that, which is unrighteousness. And Paul says that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. And, you know, one time I was praying, I was greatly grieved over a situation. And I was going to a minister's meeting, and I went that day, and I was like, God, I desperately need to hear a word from you today. And I went, and I sat there, and I was reading my Bible, and it said, in the last days, people will follow deceiving spirits. I'll never forget that day. And it was like, wow, that's what was going on. And it was what that meant for me was it gave me a new prayer strategy. Someone sent me a Facebook tag the other day. I really don't know how to do that too well. I know how to read. I know how to post. I know how to share a few things, but I don't really know how to tag people on it too much or anything like this. But this person tagged me on this video trailer for a movie that is coming out, I believe, in August. And I'll tell you, I got excited about the movie because of the trailer. And the trailer showed a bunch of different scenes, but the audio was all about this woman who was praying to God. And whoever wrote that line knew how to pray, The movie is called The War Room. It's done by the people of Facing the Giants and Fireproof and Courageous and all of those movies. And all of those have been done pretty well as far as I'm concerned. But I believe that we need to once again realize that we are not fighting flesh and blood. If you or someone you know is involved in sexual immorality, I want you to know that it is, you are not fighting flesh and blood. It is actually a call to your knees. It is a call to our knees. It is a call that we once again begin to call upon the name of the Lord. One of my favorite truths in the Word of God is the few times that it says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. And I tell you, when a decree comes from the throne of heaven, that when it says, Satan, you are rebuked, he is rebuked. When it says, Satan, withdraw, he's got to withdraw. And so I encourage you that if you know someone that is entangled in this snare of immorality, that you pray for them and that you make it a matter of intense prayer. And if you have been praying intently and nothing has happened, I don't want you to change your theology. I want you to realize that if Satan is so intent on snaring that person, that God must have a powerful plan for their life. And kick that up a notch and make it fasting and prayer. Make it a corporate season. Our ladies came back from a ladies retreat about a year and a half ago, and they were describing what this speaker said, and I won't tell you which person, but the speaker was talking about a friend, a very high-profile name in Christianity, very talented person, passionate for God. And this lady had a son, and I don't remember what was going on in the son's life, but that whatever the circumstance was, it had triggered the mom to action. And she had told her husband, she said, I am going to be fasting and praying until this thing breaks, until I get the answer from heaven that I need. And it went on and on and on. And the husband actually got concerned, and he was calling her friends and saying, is there anything that you can do to talk her out of this? And he would go to his wife and say, how long are you going to do this? Look at what's going on with you physically. And her mindset was this: as long as it takes. As long as it takes. Church, let's wake up. Believers, let's wake up. And first, let's manifest the sexual purity in our life so that we have the moral position to be able to speak authoritatively to that situation that we're praying for. I'm telling you, prayer works. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. The scripture says, in the last times, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many will grow cold. Don't fall for deceiving spirits. You know, a lot of times people don't really set out to be lied to. I remember my first assignment as a youth pastor. I looked down at the end of the hall and I saw this young man do something. And I called him to me and I said, "Hey, don't be doing that." He said, "I didn't do that." And I said, "Yes, you did. I saw you." And he said, "No, I didn't." And, you know, this, if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes, this man, this boy was such a convincing, in his position, let's put it, he was so convincing in his position that I would have believed his denial had I not seen it with my very own eyes. And so if that's how good people can deceive, imagine the power and the influence of a deceiving spirit. I realize that this is not going to be one of the most popular topics that we talk about, but I want you to know it's a refreshing topic, because when we get through looking at this stuff, and you're going to see that the devil is trying to get you to settle for a lesser standard and a lesser satisfaction than what God intends for you. And God does all things well. He works everything out for the good of those who love him and to those who are called according to his purpose. We can trust him. But right now, let's just end the day, if we can, hitting our knees on these airwaves and crying out to God that he would bring purity into the church and that he would cause us to be able to pray and see our loved ones and our neighbors and our society have the scales fall off of their eyes so that they can see that they have been deceived. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, we ask you, first of all, to cleanse our heart, cleanse our mind, cleanse our eyes. God, see if there be any unclean way in us, any unclean thing. And God, if there is, purge it, remove it, get it rid of it. God, we don't want anything that would separate us from you. God, I pray now for those who have been led astray by deceiving spirits. God, I pray that those spirits would be bound. I pray that people's eyes would be opened and they would see the goodness and the greatness of God, and that we live for your pleasure and your holiness. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.